Yeah, you who are on the road, teach your children well. That's a good idea. There's somebody who's trying to get it done right, in the right way, and by the right people in the right places. John Klein is the congressman from Minnesota, too. He is the chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee of the United States Congress. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
How are you? Hey, there's a Marine event today. I don't know if you know about it. Josh Mandel running for Senate in Ohio. Have you heard about this kid?
No. We got a Marine running?
Yeah, another one. Can we handle another one?
You know, we just need a few good men, but actually, I'll take a few more.
Good for you. No, Josh Mandel, and, you know, this is tricky business in a primary, but he's 33 years old, two tours, running for Senate against Sherrod Brown, and we're all excited. We're going to have lunch for him today. So
I'm a little excited myself now.
Good. Hey. Down your way. Maybe we can get you to stop by.
Wow.
Anyway, okay, you've got a lot to answer for it, Mr. Chairman. Reading scores are down, and Boeing is not. Is Boeing going to be able to set up in Charleston? You're going to let that happen, aren't you?
You know, it's more than infuriating.
Yeah.
We ought to be, as Americans, we ought to be looking at that and starting to shout, enough is enough. What's happening, the Boeing decision, I'm sure your listeners probably know the whole detail, so I won't lay it all out. But fundamentally, this little tiny National Labor Relations Board, essentially one guy, and it started this process of telling Boeing, after you've spent $1 billion and after you've hired more than 1,000 people in Charleston, South Carolina, you can't do that.
Right.
You've got to shut that down and do everything in Puget Sound. And I think that all of your listeners and listeners across the country, when they hear that something like that could happen, just have to say that's not right.
Well, they do say that. I mean, we've had any number of conversations, but they're wondering, can we do something about it? And I know you're trying to.
Well, we passed a bill in the House. I mean, through the floor of the House, a strong, strong bill, good vote, picked up some Democrats, lost a little handful of Republicans, but that legislation takes that remedy, takes that possibility away from the National Labor Relations Board. It says you cannot tell any business in America where they can and cannot go into business. And we'll see. Now, of course, it's we've sent it over to the Senate, where many good things die.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There is some. Of course, there's a lot of anger over there as well, and certainly the senators from South Carolina are outraged. But this is one of those cases where, yes, the Boeing facility is in Charleston, South Carolina, but this ruling affects everybody in America because it's intimidating to businesses here and to businesses overseas who are thinking about setting up business here. So it's a job killer, and it's just part of the hundreds. I think we looked the other day, there's something like 219 regulations coming out of this administration right now in the pipeline, right now, that are adding billions of dollars to the anchor around the economy. So
yeah,
we have to take them on sort of one shot at a time, but this is a really bad one.
It is a really bad one, and I think people on both sides, we have a little static, but we can hear you fine, so I don't know what the line is. But
oh, yeah, it's a regular government landline here, so.
Well, that's not the right modifier.
exactly.
Okay. All right. Chairman, this decision got broad condemnation. I was curious, you did pick up some Democrats in the House on this?
Yeah, we did. It was almost an even swap.
Okay. Why would we lose Republicans on it?
Well, I there's no explaining some things.
Okay.
We think we picked up 8 and lost 7 or something like that.
But the Senate has of late been a place where, you know, good ideas go to die. And but if this dies in the Senate, if they don't take it up, I mean, you guys passed a budget too that the Senate didn't take up. Well, then what happens?
Repeated. Well, we keep going at it. I mean, we start looking at possibly taking steps in the appropriations and the spending process of denying funds and that sort of thing. But this underscores what you know, what you've said for years and years, elections have consequences.
Right.
And we are paying the consequences right now of the results of November of 2008.
Well, we sure are. We really are. Let's shift to education. Charter school legislation, tell us about that and prospects for improvement there.
Yeah, well, that was one of those rare sort of glimpses that comes through where we actually had strong bipartisan support. We passed a bill with the nifty name of Empowering Parents to Quality Charter Schools Act. Very, very solid vote. and very bipartisan vote. George Miller, my Democratic counterpart on the committee, was a co-sponsor of the bill with me. It really does provide more options, more choice. It empowers parents because it allows quality charter schools to replicate, to expand. Old law didn't allow that. It only provided for the introduction of brand new charter schools. And so we think that in a whole little series of steps that are in that legislation, that we have given parents more choice, and we've given them hope, because, as you know, there are some places in this country where parents feel really hopeless. There's just no place
sure.
to learn. The public
sure.
schools are failing horribly. You and I have spoken about this in the past. And these quality charter schools. Now, not all charter schools are good. Not all of them succeed. But there are many of them that are superb, and they are giving parents hope. In fact, they're doing so well that the kids get into them through a lottery. The waiting lines are too long, and we want to expand that opportunity and offer more of these quality schools. So this was a case where we had Republicans and Democrats who said, yep, we got to do something. These things are sometimes knocked down, drag out negotiations, as I'm sure you can understand. But this one came out pretty straightforward.
No, you're
it passed very strongly. I see that some of my colleagues in the Senate have introduced almost identical language, so there's a chance that something might move in the Senate. Makes me excited again.
Good, good, good. No, good job. You're doing a good job there. Do you know this charter school story out of this new book, A Class Warfare?
No.
You don't get a chance to do this. I'm not one up and you hear. As I told you when we met, I will do the reading for you and then tell you what you need to know. But I have a little more time to read books, than when I was in government. Stephen Brill, liberal journalist, founder of Court TV, did this long study. He's the first guy who found the rubber rooms, you know, the rooms in New York with the teachers. Well, he wrote this big expose of education from the liberal side, and he's getting pilloried by, you know, his own people for talking about the power of the unions and so on. Your staff may want to underline and give it to you. But one example, the stunning example, is a charter school which sits right next door, propinquity, right next door to a regular public school in the same building in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Same kids, same parents, same socioeconomic income, everything.
Right.
And the charter school performs great. And the regular public school performs terribly. It's Harlem Success 1 and PS 149. It's a paragraph or two, but I think it's great, great grist for your mill.
Well,
it kind of proves it's kind of a crucial experiment because it's the same kids.
Well, that's exactly right. There has been a sort of myth out there for a long time that said, well, charter schools succeed because they cherry pick only the bright kids. And if you do that, then of course you're going to do better because you have parental involvement and all of that. But as you're pointing out, there's now instance after instance, example after example, where exactly the same demographic and exactly the same circumstance, the charter school is producing results, and that's why they have these waiting lines for people to get their kids into them.
Yeah, that's right, and that's what we saw in that movie, Waiting for Superman.
Exactly.
So here we go. So we're pushing these things. We're spending more money. We're at, what, $600-700 billion a year now, and the reports come out, and we have the worst reading scores on record.
Well, and that's because you have to change the status quo. It underscores the problem of year after year spending more money doing the same thing. And as you mentioned now, you mentioned New York, where Joel Klein was the chancellor
and really
started to make these changes. And you've got the mayor in Los Angeles, a very big Democrat, by the way, making very big changes.
Right.
And I think his title is superintendent in Indiana, Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
Your twin.
We actually have the same headlines. I sent him my clips from 25 years ago. You know, teachers unions condemn Bennett. He said, I can use these today. These are great. Anyway, go ahead, Chairman.
But they're all over the place, in Florida and in Indiana and in Tennessee and in Nevada. You have these chiefs for change, and you have people who are looking at the status quo and saying, no, we are going to change it. We are going to not keep teachers who are ineffective, inept, and don't care. We're going to promote teachers who are doing a really good job. We are going to have an accountability system that means something. And so there is innovation going on all over the place, and I want that to succeed.
Yeah. You know, the other thing kind of insidious in this is the, in the report, when they issued the report, they said one of the reasons, not to get upset, one of the reasons that the reading scores went down was the increased diversity of the people taking the test. I promise you, if I had said that, or you had said that, we would have been pilloried. But no one was pilloried here. And look at the message it sends. Remember that great line of George Bush's, the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I, you know, you and I have spoken so many times, and thank you very much for your time and sharing your experience. But there were some good things that came out of that effort that George W. Bush and the Congress did when they brought No Child Left Behind. Unfortunately, they brought a huge federal intrusion, a lot of problems. But by exposing some of the shortcomings of the system, because it insists on reporting and data and disaggregated data, it helped shine some light where some light needed to be shined. But now our task is to get the heavy foot of the federal government out of the way and do what we need to do to make sure that we are letting these innovations go forward across the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're sitting in such a critical spot. We got to wrap up here, Chairman Klein, but education, labor. A conversation recently with Michael Milken, excuse the name dropping, but he said, you know, these companies are going to India, not just because the wages are low, but because the talent pool is better.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at a population in another country where it's going to cost you half as much and your talent pool is better, the math is better, their reading is better, it's a very tempting place to go. This is why we really got to get on the stick.
Yeah, we do. We do have to get on the stick. We just, as we're getting on the stick, we have to resist the temptation to assume that we here in Washington have all the right answers and we're going to tell everybody else exactly what to do. That's a formula for a real problem.
But as you pointed out in your litany of the states, it's not as if this is rocket science. We know how to do this, and people are doing it here and there all over this country, right?
That's right. That's right.
So
and
we just
that is that it, people should be uplifted by that. That is heartwarming to see these stories where you have Republicans and Democrats who are recognizing that this simply is not working and we've got to change it.
Well, it's heartwarming to know you're there and we're at your disposal. We thank you very much, sir.
Well, I thank you, sir.
All right. Chairman John Klein, Minnesota 2, Chairman of Education and Workforce Committee. Very, very important. Would you think education and work and labor and jobs is important? I think so. Critical place. Teach your children well, America. We'll be back.
The one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.